them. And I have to say, this entire suite that we just played didn't have any percussion scored for it. So all of this creativity is from John Curry. And I want to tell you just a little bit about him. I'm going to plug him because, you know, musicians, we don't like plugging ourselves. We have to have someone else do it. His website, that's right, get a pencil, is John Curry, Curry with an E, .com. And he is a part of the Mexican marimba band Sol de Chiapas, the salsa band La Señora KC, and Ensemble Iberica, which some of you probably know. They've played on KPR before. So I was hoping, John, you could tell us a little bit about how you decide what to pick out, and people really want to know what that thing screaming at the beginning was.
Oh, yeah, no, I'd be glad to. So, no, that's, I'm a percussionist. A lot of it has to do with just loving to play with toys. And literally, that's kind of what it is. I mean, if you went to, if you go to Union Station and you go to the gift shop after, you can find this thunder tube that we had involved. Right? So over here we have what was originally would be the jawbone of a donkey with the teeth tied back into it to rattle. This is a manufactured version. It's called a vibraslap. Yeah. From the old Foley days, before everything was recorded and electronic, this is called a flexitone for the ghostly sounds. Yeah, I've got just a couple of suspended, kind of strung up sets of shells here for the goblin bone kind of rattle. Yeah, so it's just stuff here and there. Of course, the ghost and the. This is called a Mark tree. It's said to have been invented by someone named Mark for a studio gig. And so that's where the name came from. We kind of call them wind chimes, right? And then finally, this spooky instrument right here. This is called an Aztec death whistle. There's several versions of the story about it, but the one I like most for Halloween is that the high priest would enchant these with the screams of the human sacrifices so that the warriors, the Aztec warriors, could take them into battle, play them in front of their enemies, and strike terror and horror and fear into their enemies. And that would give them an advantage in war. So the Aztec death whistle.
It's so great. You know, when we had our first rehearsal together, I like to say that I was a kid at Christmas time because it made the music so fun. I mean, every single thing he did was like, oh, wow. So thank you. I hear you have a bad joke you want to share.
Oh, yeah. Little. This one kind of ties into one that we kind of heard off air ahead of things there. Just a little bit to put you in the Halloween spirit. Why wouldn't the skeleton cross the road? Because he didn't have the guts.
Thank you so much, John.
A pleasure being here, Destiny. Thank you so much.
Yay. So much love on stage. I love it. Next, this is crazy. I'm going to play a really hard piece of music for the violin. It's called the Devil's Trill Sonata. Sorry, there's no percussions.
That's my cue to leave.
No. And the reason it's called this is there are lots of reasons, but I do want to read to you. Tartini, this is from the 1700s, actually around the time this violin was made, so maybe this music was even played on it. Tartini says of this Devil's Trill Sonata, "One night I dreamed I had made a bargain with the devil for my soul. I gave him my violin to see what he could do with it. How great was my astonishment to hear him play with such consummate art and intelligence. A sonata more exquisitely beautiful than anything I had conceived in my boldest flights of fantasy. I felt enraptured, transported, spellbound. My breath failed me, and I awoke. At once, seizing my own violin, I tried to retain the sounds I had heard in my dream. But it was in vain. The music I then composed is indeed the best that I have ever written, and I call it the Devil's Sonata. But it is so inferior to the one I heard in my dream that I would have destroyed my instrument, bidding farewell to music forever if it had not been possible for me to live without the enjoyment it gives me." Now, this last part about wanting to smash our instruments up against a wall when we play this, it's true. True story. I will summarize a little bit what's going on here. You'll hear a lullaby in the opening, sort of the dream setting that you get. And this devil, I like to say he's a friendly, mischievous little devil, because we get to this next part that's a bit faster, and he announces himself, and then he's sort of bouncing and bopping around, and it's very cute. And then the next section is sort of interspersed dream states with a little bit more crazy. And in there, you'll start to hear trills, and that's where the violinist rapidly alternates their finger back and forth. It happens a couple of times, and then the entire last page of this is all trills. I had to go back to physical therapy when I started practicing. I was like, oh my God, this is hard. But it's a really beautiful, beautifully written sonata, and you basically get to hear the violin do its violin thing, accompanied by a wonderful pianist, Karen. So enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I guess I'm still alive. I guess the devil kind of got me. That's a crazy piece of music, isn't it? Yeah. Show's over. Night. Just kidding. Wow. Yeah, I'm just going to catch my breath. So, you know, when Bach had his supposed low blood sugar murderous rampage, he actually he let one witch go free because she was kind enough to share her candy with him to stop him from continuing his crazy rampage. And that witch is here with us. Come up to the stage, my lovely little witch. Yes, who do we have here? Oh, very spooky.
Hello, my pretties.
Wow, that was pretty good. That's my student. I didn't teach her to do that, though. This is my darling student, Evelyn, and I love incorporating youth into performances and playing with them and giving them opportunities to shine. I recently started a nonprofit called Prairie Classical that focuses on just that, giving youth performance opportunities. And Evelyn was my very first student when I came to Kansas City 6 years ago, but I think it was like a year before we met, and she's been studying with me ever since. And actually, one of the very first tunes we worked on out of the Suzuki book, if any of you took piano lessons as children, was Paganini's Witch's Dance. Ah, yes. And so that is going to be a real treat for you because we have the adult version coming. But Evelyn's been such a joy, and I promised her I'd buy her bubble tea afterwards if she said something nice about me on the air. So, Evelyn, what do you really love about me?
Well, Miss Destiny, not only are you an amazing player and educator, as we all just heard, you've been such a supportive force in my life. You've given me so many opportunities to learn and grow, just like this one here today, and I will be forever grateful for everything that you've done to inspire me as a musician and as a learner. Thank you so much.
I should pay you for saying that. They agree. Wow. All right. So I did promise Evelyn that live on air she could tell a bad Halloween joke, although hers is better than mine. So I'm going to go first with my really cheesy Halloween joke that those of you who are here for the pre-show have not heard. When is it bad luck to be followed by a black cat? When you're a mouse.
Very nice.
You got a better one?
I don't know if it's better, but I have one.
Okay.
Why do werewolves never know the time? Because they're not when-wolves, duh.
Clap. Okay, we got a few claps. Yes, for our listeners at home, I know that you tuned in just for these jokes. All right, now we are going to do a version of Paganini's Witch's Dance. It actually starts with the original Suzuki tune, but Evelyn, being immensely creative, has composed her very own cadenza, which is where a violinist plays all by themselves in the middle of this, and I'm very impressed with what she came up with. So, on with the show. Let's do it. Isn't that great? Well deserved applause. Nice job. Wasn't that a nice cadenza? So like, I guess this will be recorded, so you don't have to write it down. You can remember it. Well, up next, you get to hear percussion again. I know you've been waiting. Yes, see, John, they love you. Wow. Yeah. Stealing the show, I say. I would like to take a minute to tell you about Karen Savage. She's amazing. She puts up with all of my crazy. You know, as a pianist, she is not only a collaborator and works with me, and we come up with our own unique concept of things, but other times I think she's just like, sure. Secretly, she's like, oh my God. Probably not. She's very kind. But I thought she could tell you a little bit about collaborative piano. She is associate professor of it at the UMKC Conservatory, coordinator of chamber music as well. And you hold a doctoral and 2 master's degrees from Juilliard. Dang. I know you had 2 master's degrees. You're legit. She's legit. Okay, I'll stop talking. Would you love to tell us about collaborative piano playing now?
Sure. So you know how John talked about being a percussionist is about loving to play with toys. And I think for collaborative piano, it's about loving to play with other musicians. So pianists can get kind of lonely. And so I have gotten to play with violin, flute, oboe, and last month's voice and oboe, and cello. And it's really... I've never played with an Aztec death whistle before tonight, before this last couple of weeks, but it really expands your horizons. It helps you listen to different colors, and it's wonderful to make conversations with friends and to, you know, within the case of art song, to delve into poetry, and it's been a wonderful... I did my first master's in solo piano, and then I realized that I wanted to do more work with collaborative piano. So that's actually what we started a new program there at UMKC. And because most pianists actually end up coming out of school and they get a lot of their living from playing with other people, so we might as well learn how to do it well and listen well and know our roles and listen to articulations. So that's it. And I have a viola joke.
Oh, you have a viola joke?
Okay.
Yes!
So what is the difference between a viola and an onion?
Uh-oh.
Nobody cries when you chop up the...
Are there any violists in the audience?
No more collaboration.
Yeah, I know. That was good. The poor viola ends up always being the butt of every orchestral joke, but actually we do have a violist in the audience, but I won't embarrass that person. Thank you, Karen. Yeah, that was funny. Good job. This next tune you all probably will recognize. It is Sasson's Danse Macabre. It is actually originally for a solo violin with orchestra, and the solo violinist tunes their E string down, so they usually have a different violin to play on, and it creates a tritone. And back in the ancient times when they had Gregorian chant and whatnot, the tritone was thought of as the instrument of the devil because it created such a spooky sound. Trains have a tritone whistle, ambulance sirens have it, so it's a startling sound. This is based on writings in a poem, an allegory in the late Middle Ages. It's about the dance of death, and the poem that Sassans wrote it to starts with the clock striking 12 at midnight, and death appears and tries to get all of the living beings to join him in the grave, and skeletons dance. And really the actual sort of charming part to the story, although a bit maudlin, is that, you know, kings and paupers and workers and everyone show up, but we're all equal in death, right? When you're 6 feet under, there's no more. Yeah, okay, it's getting a little, yeah. Happy Halloween, everybody! So one of my favorite parts in this, it actually sounds like a carnival of, and I just imagine glass dolls like ratcheting their teeth and like moving their head around. For those of you at home, I'm cracking my head open right now. It's just, there's so much color in this, and Karen has to represent the whole orchestra on piano. And John has taken some of the percussion parts from orchestra and then also added his own flair to it. So I think you'll enjoy this version. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Assisted by Kansas City musicians, Percussion Curry, pianist Karen Savage, and Kansas Public Radio's own evening classical host, the violinist Destiny Ann Mermagan. This was their fun Halloween show that topped off KPR's Live Day 2023 in the pavilion of KU's Lead Center. It was broadcast live on October 25th, 2023. Recording the show were KPR sound engineers Jason Sloat and Chubb Smith. They were assisted by Cam Sloat. I'm Cordelia Brown. Thanks for joining us for Classics Live, a weekly look at the best local classical events. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. And if you'd like to hear this show again or share it with a friend, check our website, kansaspublicradio.org. You know, when your old boat feels like an anchor around your wallet, KPR's vehicle donation program is here for you. We'll take your donated vehicle and use it to fund the programs you enjoy every day. Donate your boat, car, motorcycle at kansaspublicradio.org. Everyone can leave a gift to KPR through their will. It's an inspired way to support an organization that enriches your life and that of others in your community. Learn more about leaving a legacy gift to KPR at legacy.kansaspublicradio.org. This is KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV, KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute, KansasPublicRadio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. On a campaign swing through the Southwest, former President Trump first stopped in Albuquerque, New Mexico, a state Republicans have not won in the presidential race since 2004. NPR's Ben Giles reports Trump's campaign stands to gain from a shift in voting patterns, though.
At a time when his campaign has sought to defend itself from criticism over a pattern of crude and even racist remarks about Puerto Rico, about Mexico, and just about anyone crossing the southern border, the former president said campaigning in New Mexico was good for his credentials with Hispanic voters.
And with your support, New Mexico, look, I don't make me waste a whole damn half a day here, okay? Look, I came here, you know, we could be nice to each other or we could talk turkey. Let's talk turkey, okay? First of all, Hispanics love Trump. They do.
Trump acknowledged it would take record turnout from Latino voters for him to win in New Mexico this year. He also claimed he's won the state every year he's ran for president, despite back-to-back losses there in 2016 and 2020. Ben Giles, NPR News.
Campaigning in Phoenix, Arizona earlier today, Vice President Harris said if her Republican rival Donald Trump wins the presidential race next week, he would walk into the Oval Office on day one with an enemies list. While Harris says she would walk in with a to-do list, and she told the crowd her number one priority.
And on top of my list, in that spirit, is bringing down your cost of living. It's an issue that we need to address, and it will be my focus every single day as president.
Harris earlier in the day took exception to remarks made by former President Trump he would protect women whether they, quote, like it or not. Harris attends a Get Out the Vote rally later tonight in Las Vegas. The head of a leading free speech organization is stepping down. As NPR's Netta Ulby explains, the group Pan America announced the resignation today.
Suzanne Nossel took over at Pan America in 2013. Under her leadership, revenue expanded by a factor of 5. Membership grew to more than 4,000. But many of those members criticized Pan America for not standing up more strongly for Palestinian writers who've been imprisoned, displaced, or killed over the past 12 months. Protests led to canceled events and accusations of silencing. Other controversies also erupted about awards for translation and for writers who are in U.S. prisons. Suzanne Nossel had focused on issues such as book bans in U.S. schools. She is moving on to run the pro-democracy group Freedom House. Netta Ulibi, NPR News.
The union representing striking Boeing machinists says more than 30,000 of its members will vote on a new contract offer next week. Latest offer from the company to members of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers includes wage increases of 38% over 4 years, up from a 35% offer rejected last week. Boeing has refused to bend on restoring a traditional pension plan. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate October 31st. Some monstrous stars decorate the Halloween sky this evening. They're in Perseus, which is low in the northeast at nightfall, but passes directly overhead in the wee hours of the morning. The constellation is marked by a couple of ribbons of moderately bright stars. In mythology, Perseus rescued the princess Andromeda from a nasty sea monster. In one version of the story, he turned the monster to stone by showing him the head of Medusa, one of the Gorgons, monsters in their own right. Four stars in the constellation are tied to that story. Together, they're known as the Gorgons, and the most impressive of the four is quite the monster. Gorgonia Tertia, the third Gorgon, is entering the final stage of its life. It converted the original hydrogen fuel in its core to helium, then converted the helium to carbon and oxygen. The core isn't hot enough to continue the process, though, so it's no longer generating energy. But it's hot enough to push on the layers of gas around it, making the star puff up to enormous proportions. Today, Gorgonia Tertia is roughly 150 times wider than the Sun. In the near future, on the astronomical timescale, the star will get even bigger and brighter. After that, it will eject its outer layers, creating a colorful bubble. But the bubble will quickly expand so much that it'll fade from view. That will leave only the star's hot but dead core, a meek end for a monstrous star. You can find out how to subscribe to our daily program at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Thank you. Halloween, KPR friends. Wow, that was the famous Toccata and Fugue by Johann Sebastian Bach in orchestral version with Leopold Stokowski conducting the Czech Philharmonic. I never tire of that. Man, it's just great music. Hi there. I am your host, Destiny. Got a spooky program for you tonight. I hope many of you tuned in to the live day performance from last year. I was playing the violin. Pretty fun. Now I'm going to play songs on the radio for you at around 8:43. Dracula Suite. But don't worry, for all of you Tango Thursday lovers out there, I have, of course, the most famous tango of all time, scheduled for the end of the hour. Right now, though, let's take a ride on a train. A ghost train. Yes, indeed. This is by Eric Whitaker with the North Texas Wind Symphony. Get your Halloween spook on right now on KPR.
Thank you.
Oh, ho, ho, scary. Eric Whitaker's Ghost Train Triptych from 1994 with the North Texas Wind Symphony. Whew. Happy Halloween again. Can't believe it's Halloween. That means Thanksgiving and Christmas are right around the corner. Holy moly. Something else right around the corner. 8:55, tango to end the hour. Don't worry. I didn't forget, even though it's Halloween. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City, and information is at greenladylounge.com. And the Lead Center, hosting comedian Lewis Black in Goodbye Yeller Brick Road, the final tour, Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Tickets available at lead.ku.edu. We are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence and 89.9 Atchison. Thank you to all of you out there who keep us on the radio. We appreciate you. And now, I'd like to suck your blood. It's I am not Dracula. I'm so fired. But Philip Glass has some Dracula for us. It's his Dracula suite. Piano. It'll be really nice. It's about 11 minutes. Bruce Levingston playing for us right now on KPR. Thank you. Okay, that's definitely some creepy music. Dracula Suite by Philip Glass, right here on KPR with Bruce Levingston at the piano. Ooh, happy Halloween one last time, I guess, because finally, for those of you waiting for the tango all night, that'll be coming right up. But first, I've got to tell you something. Did you know? This is crazy. More than 84% of KPR's operating budget comes from private support. That's right. We don't rely on big corporations. We need you. And our news coverage is made possible by listeners like you. We would really appreciate it if you would consider investing in KPR and the news and music that matters. Now is the time to discover how you can make a difference. Contribute now at support.kansaspublicradio.org. And thanks, we could really use it. It does help us out a lot. Okay, does everyone know what the most famous tango is of all time? I'm going to let you guess. I bet you can figure it out. Let's see right now on KPR. Liber Tango by Piazzolla here on KPR by the group In Hockey. Ooh, happy Tango Thursday. I love it. You know, I've got quite a bit of time left, and, well, it's because I have a little Halloween treat for you. Oh, boy, I played this last week, and some of you, I think, were traumatized because it's just so weird. But others of you actually really liked it. This is crazy. This is actually something written by Charles Ives, and it's called Halloween. It's a little challenging to listen to, but since it's Halloween and, you know, I love expanding all of our horizons together, I think we should listen to it right now. I nearly passed out when I heard it. Let's enjoy it right now on KPR. Halloween here on KPR from Charles Ives and your dear old host. NPR News is up next, and then some jazz in the night. See you soon on KPR.
Our job as journalists is to check the facts and then check them again, to cite our sources and ask the tough questions that need answering.
And unfortunately, I'm going to have to go back to my first question. Just, I still don't think I've heard an answer here. The presidential election.
What is Congress willing to do?
Is the U.S. doing everything it can?
I'm Leila Fadel from NPR, where independent public service journalism is what we do. This is NPR.
This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KENV and KENV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KNQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. In the swing state of Pennsylvania, the state's attorney general says recent attempts to submit fraudulent voter registration forms in four Pennsylvania counties have been defeated. As NPR's Hansi Luong reports, authorities say investigations are ongoing.
In a statement, Pennsylvania's state attorney general Michelle Henry says her office is working with officials in Berks, Lancaster, Monroe, and York counties to find out who submitted fraudulent voter registration forms. Last week, Lancaster County officials were the first to disclose they suspected problems with approximately 2,500 applications. Henry, who's a Democrat, says her office won't share sensitive information about their investigations, but emphasized they're looking into voter registration forms, not ballots. Former Republican President Donald Trump recently made baseless claims that Lancaster County officials uncovered fraudulent votes. Henry says safeguards thwarted these attempts to corrupt voter registration lists and, quote, offenders who perpetrated acts of fraud will be held accountable under the law. Hansi Luong, NPR News.
Former President Trump is taking a detour from the seven key battleground states in the final days of the campaign. GOP presidential contender was in New Mexico today and will be in Virginia over the weekend as he looks to spend time at a couple of locations where Republican presidential candidates have struggled in the past. Trump is now in Arizona. In the Middle East, Hezbollah has a new leader. He replaces Hassan Nasrallah, who was killed by a massive Israeli airstrike in Lebanon last month. NPR's Arzu Rezvani reports.
Naim Qassem was never really meant to lead Hezbollah, but Israel has killed so much of the group's top brass in recent weeks that he was pretty much the last man standing. The 70-year-old cleric, who was Nasrallah's longtime deputy, offers a steady and familiar hand at a time of uncertainty. In his first televised speech as Hezbollah's new leader, Qassem vowed to keep fighting Israel. But his decades of political experience suggest there is also a way out of this war with him at the helm. Time is not on Qassem's side. Soon after his appointment was announced, Israel's defense minister, Yoav Gallant, weighed in with a not-so-subtle threat, saying on Twitter that it would be a, quote, temporary appointment that wouldn't last long. Arzu Rezvani, NPR News, Beirut.
ChatGPT maker OpenAI is entering the online search business, NPR's Bobby Allen reports.
Google is still the verb many people use when talking about searching the internet, but that could soon change. Now ChatGPT search has entered the search ring. Real-time information about news events, stocks, sports scores, movie listings will be synthesized in OpenAI's latest offerings. Google is still a fierce competitor, with more than 80% of the online search market share in the U.S. But increasingly, competitors like TikTok, YouTube, AI tool Perplexity, and others have become go-to ways of finding information fast. OpenAI has shot to one of the most valuable startups in the world, worth an estimated $157 billion. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Stocks lost ground on Wall Street today. The Dow was down 378 points. This is NPR. In Spain, search crews are continuing to look for the bodies of people who became trapped in vehicles or in flood-ravaged buildings. It follows major flash flooding in Spain's Valencia region that has now claimed at least 158 lives, with fears the death toll there could go higher. Spain's transport minister says people appear to have drowned after being trapped inside their vehicles. Many cars have yet to be checked. It's not clear how many people are still missing. The Biden administration says thousands of North Korean troops are positioned on the border between Russia and Ukraine. Officials say they could soon be engaging in combat with Ukrainian troops. More from NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. believes there are 10,000 North Korean soldiers in Russia right now, as many as 8,000 of them in the Kursk region, which borders Ukraine. And Blinken says this makes Russian President Vladimir Putin look weak.
Putin has been throwing more and more Russians into a meat grinder of his own making in Ukraine. Now, he's turning to North Korean troops. And that is a clear sign of weakness.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the U.S. doesn't know what Russia is giving North Korea in exchange, but the U.S. analysts say China is none too happy about this level of coziness between Russia and North Korea. The U.S. is working diplomatic channels to urge China to intervene. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
Crude oil futures prices extended their gains today. Oil rose by 65 cents a barrel to end the session at $69.26 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Jane Gross, whose bequest supports NPR's commitment to creating a more informed public by distributing programming that meets the highest standards of public service and journalism. This is NPR.
A string around my finger. What a world, what a life. I'm in love. I got a song that I sing. I can make the rain go anytime I move my finger. Lucky me, can't you see? I'm in love. Life is a beautiful thing. As long as I hold the string, I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let go. I've got the world on the string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. If I should ever let go, thank you.
Good evening. Welcome to Jazz in the Night on KPR with the Divine One, Sarah Vaughan, getting things started, singing I've Got the World on a String. Here on KPR tonight, I'm your host, Bob McWilliams. That from an album called How Long Has This Been Going On with Oscar Peterson Piano, Joe Pass Guitar, bassist Ray Brown, and drummer Louis Belson. We've got the late, great pianist Malgrew Miller up next, and after that, we'll hear a wonderful artist we lost last week, baritone saxophonist Claire Daly, from an album she did of the music of Motown, some Motown hits. We'll hear one of those as done by Claire Daly. Malgrew Miller from an album called Live at Yoshi's Volume 2, the Oakland Jazz Club with Malgrew, bassist Derek Hodge and drummer Kareem Riggins. This one came out back in 2005, and we're going to hear a piece written by the pianist James Williams called Road Life. It's pianist Malgrew Miller's trio on Kansas Public Radio. The applause at Yoshi's Jazz Club in Oakland for pianist Mulgrew Miller's trio here on KPR's Jazz in the Night from the album Live at Yoshi's Volume 2. Mulgrew playing a piece by another pianist, Jack Williams, called Road Life. Mulgrew Miller at the piano, Derek Hodge on bass, Kareem Riggins, the drummer. We're going to dive into the vinyl vault for guitarist Jack Wilkins from 1977, an album that had Randy Brecker, among others, on it. And up next, we'll hear from baritone saxophonist Claire Daly. Support for Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio comes from KU Theater, presenting Hooktown, a darkly comic salute to teenage slasher movies, reminding everyone that college can be scary. That's playing tomorrow through Thursday, November the 7th. Tickets at kutheater.com. We lost the wonderful baritone saxophonist Claire Daly last week at the age of 66. I got to see and hear and visit with Claire just once when her band did a gig at the Blue Room in Kansas City, gosh, probably 10 years ago maybe, and just a beloved figure in the jazz world. Her album called 2648 West Grand Boulevard from 2016, and you go, well, what does that mean? Well, that was the address of Motown Records in Detroit, and this is her album of jazz interpretations of classic Motown 45s, including this version of I Second That Emotion for you here on KPR. We'll be right back. Claire Daly with her version of I Second That Emotion here on KPR's Jazz in the Night, the album from 2016, 2648 West Grand Boulevard, Jazz Interpretations of Classic Motown 45s. We're going to dive into the vinyl vault next with guitarist Jack Wilkins. And in a little under 10 minutes, we'll hear a brand new one. It's Blue Lou Marini and his big band that he calls the Blue Band. We'll debut that one here on Kansas Public Radio. We're here and we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, online at kansaspublicradio.org. This LP is called the Jack Wilkins Quartet from 1977, with quite a band. Randy Brecker on flugelhorn, Eddie Gomez on bass, Jack DeJohnette on drums, and this is Jack Wilkins, an original composition called Fum, here on KPR. Thank you. KPR, the guitarist Jack Wilkins Quartet from 1977. The album is sometimes called the Jack Wilkins Quartet. It's sometimes called Merge. In either event, it has Randy Brecker playing trumpet, Jack DeJohnette on drums, Eddie Gomez bass. From 1977, the Jack Wilkins tune called Fum. That gig came about because Jack and Eddie Gomez were doing a lot of duo gigs in New York City, and a club said, can you make it a quartet for this weekend? And they Jack got Randy Brecker to come in and play trumpet and Jack DeJohnette to come in and play dubs. The owner of Chiaroscuro Records was at the gig and said, I want to record you guys. And then this album came about. Guitarist Jack Wilkins, who we lost last year at the age of 79. We've got Blue Lou Marini and his new big band album up next, and we'll have the debut of drummer Zach Edelman in just a bit here on Jazz in the Night. Well, Saturday evening at 6, it's KPR's Live at Green Lady Lounge with the Reyes Brothers Organ Trio, a late-night favorite of the Green Lady. We'll hear an hour of all original music from them on Live at Green Lady Lounge, the Reyes Brothers Organ Trio, Saturday evening at 6 on Kansas Public Radio. No. Blue Lou Marini, if you don't, you might well have seen him. He was a key member of the house band in the early years of Saturday Night Live, including the famous or infamous King Tut sketch with Steve Martin when the sarcophagus opened up and Luke came out and started soloing. And he was also the guy that worked in Aretha Franklin's diner and the Blues Brothers. But he's been a well-respected musician, studio musician for many artists. And he's got a big band. He calls it the Blue Band. We're going to hear from their album, Out of the Blue, and a piece written by Lou Marini called Subway Fare here on KPR.
Thank you.
Lulu Marini's composition and arrangement called Subway Fare here on KPR's Jazz in the Night. It's from his new 2-CD set, Lulu Marini and the Blue Band Out of the Blue. And Lou wrote all the music for this one, composing and arranging. That piece featured Sam Dillon on tenor sax, John Bailey on trumpet, and Dave Reichenberg on baritone sax. With trombonist John Fedchock up next, his new album, The Music of J.J. Johnson. And after that, we'll hear the new one from the really terrific young singer Samara Joy here on Jazz in the Night. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center at JCCC, presenting Paragon Ragtime Orchestra Sunday, November 17th at 2 p.m. The presentation of Meet Me at the Fair is a musical celebration of the world's fairs. More at jccc.edu/mtc. John Fedchock's new album is called Justifiably J.J., recorded in Indianapolis. It's a centennial tribute to the great trombonist J.J., who was from Indianapolis. And the number we're going to hear, in fact, is a tune J.J. wrote and named it for the nickname of his hometown. It's Naptown, USA, from trombonist John Fedchock on KPR. Thank you. From his new album, Justifiably, J.J. trombonist John Fetchock and J.J. Johnson's composition, Naptown, USA. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Bowersock Capital Partners, a woman-owned and managed financial management firm with deep Kansas roots, Sanctuary Securities member, FINRUHSLPC, advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Here's Samara Joy on KPR.
Day by day, I'm falling more and more in love with you. Day by day, my love seems to grow. There isn't any end to my devotion. It's deeper, dear, by far than in the ocean. I find that day by day you're making all my dreams come true. So come what may, I want you to know that I'm yours alone and I'm in love to stay. We got through the years day by day. Thank you.
Mara Joy on KPR. Her new album is called Portrait. We heard her sing Day by Day.
We are in the final stretch of this historic election season. Former President Trump and Vice President Harris are making their last big push before it all comes to a head on November 5th. I'm Scott Detrow. Join us for live special coverage of Election Night 2024 from NPR News. We will bring you the latest as the polls close and the vote totals roll in, with the context and analysis you need to stay informed.
National and state election coverage Tuesday night on Kansas Public Radio. We're here and we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. More trombone from a new album by Steve Davis right after the news. Support for news on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. And Audio Reader, now accepting donations of audio equipment, vinyl records, and more for their audio sales. More information on Audio Reader services and how to donate at reader.ku.edu.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Shay Stevens. Vice President Kamala Harris held rallies tonight in Reno and Las Vegas, Nevada. Earlier in Phoenix, Arizona, Harris made a direct appeal to independent and Republican voters. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, she also talked about abortion rights.
Harris criticized former President Trump for remarks saying he would protect women, whether they like it or not, linking that to his views on reproductive freedom.
He simply does not respect the freedom of women or the intelligence of women to know what's in their own best interest and make decisions accordingly. But we trust women. We trust women.
She also urged Arizonans to vote yes on Proposition 139, a ballot measure that would expand abortion access in the state. Tamara Keith, NPR News, traveling with the vice president.
Former President Donald Trump is crisscrossing swing states to shore up as many votes as possible. Trump campaigned in Henderson, Nevada today, where he doubled down on his promise to be tough on immigration.
On day one, I will launch the largest deportation program in American history. We're going to get them out. We have no choice. I will rescue every city and town that has been invaded and conquered.
Trump also traveled to New Mexico and Arizona and is set to campaign in Virginia on Friday. A new report shows the number of people detained by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has risen more than 20% over the past 2 years. As NPR's Meg Anderson reports, more than 36,000 people were in ICE custody this past spring.
The number of people held by immigration authorities is lower than pre-pandemic, but there's been a steep increase since 2022. Researchers at the Vera Institute of Justice call that a sign of a growing criminalization of immigrants. Shana Kessler, director of the Institute's Initiative on Immigration.
What I can say is that we are very much in a moment of extremely heightened anti-immigrant rhetoric.
She says a primary reason migrants are held in custody is to ensure that they'll show up for their immigration hearing. But past research has shown that the majority of released families do show up to court. Meg Anderson, NPR News.
Boeing is making another contract offer to its striking machinists. A vote on the proposal is set for Monday. Roughly 33,000 union machinists walked off their jobs in September after rejecting a previous offer that included a signing bonus and pay raises. Boeing has cut costs and announced furloughs to cope with losses associated with the walkout. The head of the International Association of Machinists says members of the union made concessions over a decade and are now demanding to recoup some of those losses. On Wall Street, stocks tumbled. This is NPR News. Rescue efforts continue in eastern Spain, where flash floods have claimed at least 158 lives and left a path of destruction. The country's transport minister says the death toll will likely rise as crews recover flood victims trapped in mud-laden vehicles. The disaster was triggered by unusual rainfall. On Tuesday, Valencia got a year's worth of rain in less than a day, leaving the region mired in a layer of mud covering streets and downed power lines. Scientists who study stem cells are exploring the potential benefits of doing this type of research in space. As NPR's Will Stone reports, one such experiment is focused on growing liver tissue and is expected to launch early next year.
The goal is to grow bigger and more complex organoids. These are not actual organs. They're tiny 3D clusters of cells that mimic the function of an organ and are used to model diseases and test drugs, and scientists hope one day for transplants. Tammy Chang, a surgeon at UCSF, says they're aiming to send their stem cell-filled bioreactors to the International Space Station in February.
To test our hypothesis that microgravity is doing something unique that cannot be achieved on Earth.
Chang says there's evidence from experiments using simulated microgravity that liver organoids function better when grown in those conditions. Will Stone, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 378 points. The Nasdaq Composite Index plunged 512 points, and the S&P 500 fell 108. U.S. futures are higher in after-hours trading. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR produce programming that meets the highest standards of public service in journalism and cultural expression.
Thank you.
trombonist Steve Davis and Milestones, the more famous of the two tunes Miles Davis recorded called Milestones, that from the late 50s. And here on KPR from the brand new album We See, debuting tonight on KPR's Jazz in the Night, the Steve Davis Sextet with Eddie Henderson on trumpet and Ralph Moore tenor sax, Rini Rossas at the piano, bassist Essie Adessia, drummer Lewis Nash, great band and terrific album We See from Steve Davis to open up this 10 o'clock hour of Jazz in the Night. In about 8 minutes, we'll hear a wonderful pianist, composer, and arranger from St. Petersburg, Russia, originally been on the New York scene many years now, Misha Siganov with a new record. And we'll hear from saxophonist Lee Konitz up next on KPR's Jazz in the Night. This is an album Lee Konitz did back in the late 1980s with Fred Hirsch on piano, Mike Richmond on bass, Adam Nussbaum on drums. The album's called Round and Round, and it's Lee Konitz and friends' version of a Toots Thielemann piece, Bluesette, here on KPR. Thank you.